You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to the very first game recap edition of the young 2022 college football season. This is Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, and joining me today in the Bison Report studios in lovely Horace, North Dakota, Quinn Allo. Quinn, how you doing, man?
Good. Good to be here.
Quinn's pinch hitting due to the day of labor. We did not labor yesterday. So we are trying to get this to you before Saturday's game becomes old news. Therefore, no threes. No threes. The threes are not here.
Yeah, big shoes to fill there, but I'll try my best.
We're not threes. We're one of them ones.
Yep.
So we're gonna try and fill the footsteps here, fill the shoes of Jackson Brown and Trevor Gebhardt, and they will come back, certainly, for the preview edition for NCAA. But like I said, myself here with Quinn Allo, we're going to get it done for you. News, Joe Haig, no longer a free agent. That makes, I do believe, 15 Bison on the 69-man rosters with 11 Bison on 53-man rosters. The difference of 16 there being the practice squad aspect of being on an NFL roster. Cody Mauch was named the MVFC Offensive Lineman of the Week. Got some basic statistics sent out here. Played 33 snaps, no sacks, quarterback pressures, or tackles for loss around. And graded out with 12 plus physical plays. Mauch's first career player of that is egregious. Anyway, NDSU rushed for 274 yards and had 11 ball carriers, average 7.4 yards per carry in the win. Cody's awesome. We all know that. He's going to play in the NFL. Not much else to be said there. Where I would like to open up the floor for some complaining, though, Quinn, is there being co MVFC Special Teams Player of the Week, and not one damn Jaden Price. Talk to me.
That's a crime. JP's that dude.
He is. We're going to talk about it in a little bit, but how far – oh, shoot, you weren't there. Willis was there. Brad Jones, ESPN, could probably break this down better, but I would tell you that the ball was – about 11 or 12 yards from even being in JP's hands when I called for a snack on that one.
Yeah, I mean, credit to all the guys that are on that unit. Seems they've been getting better every year for a while now. And every game, I mean, last year, I can't remember how many he had last year. Did he have a couple?
Yeah.
But it just seemed like every time he got the ball, there was a chance. And I know it's been a few years since that punt return unit's been this good. So yeah. Just credit to everyone. But yeah, when JP gets the ball like that and when he caught the ball, I don't know if there was, you know, anyone in the picture yet. And when you have a guy as elusive as JP and he has the ball and there's really no one around him to start the play, pretty good chance he takes that to the house.
You just cannot outkick your coverage with JP back there. You cannot. And that was why I called for a touchdown, is because he had 12, 13 yards of separation at the catch point,
yeah,
it's over. It's over. He's that guy. Very, very impressive from young Mr. Jaden Price. Let's see. What do we got next here? The Gateway Chevrolet Drive of the Week. Quinn, I'm gonna put it on drive. Drive. I guess it wasn't necessarily the second Drake drive of the game because I think that first one had everybody a little bit stressed out.
Sure.
But the field goal block drive, I think from Kava and Destin, I think that was the drive of the game. Not that this one was ever in question. But it was more like, oh, okay, this is going to be everything that we thought it would be. Not quite the 63-7 number that I put out there, but 56-14 is close enough.
Yeah, I mean, you're closer than I was. I predicted the breaking the Mississippi Valley State game.
You did, yeah.
Maybe that was a little too much by me. But, yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, I get the fans for sure. I mean, you're going to be a little on edge when you see that first drive. But,
a little nervous.
Yeah, but just to put everyone at ease, I mean, usually that first offensive drive for both teams when those plays are scripted out, I mean, that's usually, you know, you're putting what you feel best.
Your best stuff in your 15.
It's your best stuff, yeah, in your first 15 plays, which could be, you know, sometimes for NDSU could be one drive, you know, max two. But, yeah, a team like Drake, I mean, I'm sure it was important for them to get going on a good start there. But, yeah, the blocked field goal definitely – feel like it put everyone inside the dome at ease a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think it was definitely important to get that big play. Special teams plays are always huge. Big momentum booster. And when it happens that early in the game, it definitely helps out.
Yeah, I you're right. I mean, this was always supposed to be get the twos and threes in type of game. And for a little bit, it just didn't. It didn't seem like that was maybe going to be the case, but ultimately, I think, like I said, that drive that didn't end in points for them and actually ended in points for NDSU, I think that kind of set everybody in motion to have the type of game that everybody assumed it was going to be, and that's where you got, I think Coach Ent said at the press conference, 80 guys got in on Saturday.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, and you're talking a 10-point swing, no matter who the team
absolutely
is. No matter who, yes, no matter who the team is. I mean, it can be Drake or it can be SDSU. Like, a 10-point swing is huge. So, definitely good for the boys there to get that. And, yeah, I think we talked about it earlier, just seeing that many guys in the green and gold out there, probably a lot of them for the first time, being redshirt freshmen or freshmen, it's always super cool.
It absolutely is. And we'll get to that in a second because there was actually one. I goofed, and that's on me. I threw up the Makai Collins alarm on Twitter. This is partially on NDSU too, though. They gave Eli Green, and they just must not love having two guys with the same number out there, period. Because there are teams that have guys that wear the same number on
O&D.
O&D.
Right.
Anthony Coleman, cornerback, wearing seniority over Eli Green. Over number 13.
Sure.
So they threw Eli Green in 86, and I got super excited that it was Makai Collins. But that's on me because Eli Green is 5'11 and Makai 6'4.
Yeah,
so that's
I was
on
wondering
me.
Where you're going with
that's
that.
On me. That's my bad.
Got to look at the body types a little bit.
I look down from my ivory tower. I just want people to understand that the press box is higher than the highest seat in the dome.
Yeah.
I got LASIK in 2015. I have really, really, really good vision. That's on me. I'm embarrassed. But there was a red shirt or a true freshman's red shirt, not necessarily lifted because there are three more games for him to play in, but at a position where it might end up lifted. And interesting story that I want to get to in a little bit. Before that, though, this episode, again, brought to you by the fine folks at Gateway Chevrolet. They just wrapped up their Labor Day sale, but that does not mean that they wrapped up the savings. Go see my guy, John Cole. Phenomenal, phenomenal people over there at Gateway Chevrolet. I used to work there. I mentioned on this podcast before that Gateway was my first job after my time in college. They treated me very, very well, and that is why, even as an employee who got to see how the sausage was made, how much they take care of their customers or don't take care of their customers, I left there and have done all of my automobile business with them ever since. And they are just excellent, excellent folks over there at Gateway would very much encourage anybody looking for a new vehicle or looking for service to head over to Gateway Fargo, either over at Gateway Chevrolet Cadillac or the fine folks over at Gateway Hyundai Nissan as well. Let's talk about the game. Break down that rough start for me, because I think that's kind of just like the way NDSU football is covered, and I'm not trashing any of our media or whatever, but I think the first question at the post-game press conference and then like the third question at the Monday press conference was like, how do you clean up that first drive? You win the game 56-14 and folks are like, boy, they really jammed it down your throat there right away.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a lot of things. Like one, like no matter what, first game of the year, I mean, it's first game of the year, just in general, there's going to be a lot of things to work out, especially first drive of the year. Not only first game, but like it's the first drive of the year. There's a lot of new guys and new spots for that defense. First time, I mean, they do the crowd noise in the dome like during practice and stuff. So, but there's nothing like getting in front of a crowd like that. So just first time communicating with each other in the dome with however many were there. You know, I saw a couple players – definitely a couple run fits that were missed, but you know, that's going to happen. But yeah, I think just the biggest thing that NDSU has always preached on defense in general, but especially on defense at home inside the dome, is communication. And, you know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of guys that are maybe new starters or just, you know, playing with guys next to them that they maybe hadn't played next to before. I think one of the funniest clips I ever saw was Levi Jordheim and Dan Marlette. They had a play their senior year where it was like 5 seconds consecutive where they did the exact same thing. Left hand did the same thing. They took 2 steps to the right. They took a step to the left and a step back to the right. And then their right hand did the same thing. I mean, just guys that played together forever.
Like an NCAA 14 glitch.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's out there somewhere on Twitter for sure. But you get two guys like that who have played together, you know, forever at that point. But these guys are just trying to get to that point. So whether it's run fits or maybe a miscommunication on the pass on the back end, it's, those are things that are going to, you know, be fixed. Bison fans, don't worry about that. But yeah, just the first game, you know, jitters or whatever it is. And you know, I think it happens even without the first game sometimes. And like we said earlier, that first drive, you're getting their best 15 plays, or at least their best, what they think are their best 15 plays going into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't on the script, but I think beer sales went off without a hitch. It seemed like they did 4,100 beers, something in there, and nobody arrested, no alcohol-related issues.
Things you love to see.
Things you love to see, absolutely. And at $8 a whack, 4,100 units is not bad. No,
not bad at all.
Not bad at all. And I just, okay, Zach, I think, went off on this in the bench warmers. I just need people to understand, like, yes, $8 a beer is expensive. That's what it costs.
Right.
It's what it costs at Huntington Bank Stadium. I'm sure it's what it costs up in Grand Forks. It's what it costs. I'm sorry. It just is.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, there's just no way to get around it. So, like you said, it's what it costs. And
unless you're at the Masters, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the only place.
Yeah, I'm just happy nothing, you know, nothing bad happened.
One of my buddies was in New York at the U.S. Open, the tennis, not the tennis one.
Yep.
$22 a whack. Then you can complain.
Yeah. I'm drinking before.
There you go. There you go. It costs what it costs, folks. So many different types of touchdowns. That was wild. The only one that I think you didn't have was a pick six, right?
Yeah.
Because fumble, punt return, kick block, rushing, passing. I think really only the pick six.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And again, things you love to see.
Right. I mean, I saw the tweet. It said 8 different Bison scored touchdowns.
So cool.
And it's like, you think of that just in general, how crazy it is. But then you think of all the ways that they score touchdowns. But yeah, definitely cool to see.
Let's get one of these for all 8 guys.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Hey, off topic, Jeff Culhane's call of the missed extra point was so sick at Florida State LSU.
How about the, was that their first or was their second game?
Second game, because they played a week zero game.
Right, but like the, I mean, they called it like the week one opener or Louisiana, whatever.
The Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Chicken bowl. The kickoff.
Him getting that call 2 weeks in.
So sick.
Yeah.
So happy for our guy. Yeah, just absolutely love that for him. getting back on topic, we're going to start hopefully. So, you know, I am Pro Football Focus Pro subscriber. We have done in years that they've actually got the premium statistics and player grades out in a timely manner. We've done the Inside the Numbers post on Bison Report. We are planning to do that this year because I had numbers on this game Sunday morning. Now, that was not the case last year. Maybe there's more staff at PFF. Maybe they are specifically charting NDSU's game for a prospect, because when they had Trey Lance, all of our numbers came real, real fast. So I'm thinking they might be after a certain left tackle with red hair. I don't know. I cannot confirm, but that's my thought. Anyway, the highest graded offensive player, you got to guess. You're staring at the script. Never mind. There's no guess here.
Yeah.
Gindy. And by the way, my guy looks thick.
So me and Kendra were watching the game at home. And
did she comment on how handsome he was?
Well, I just commented. I just told her, like, Gindy looks like a monster. And, like, not that he already didn't. But the reason he does is because when you get a lower body injury.
Yeah.
And you see it.
Arm farm.
Yeah. I mean, it's 4 days a week now. Yeah. I mean, because you live 4 days a week and no matter what. And when you get that leg injury, you see any guy with coming off an ACL, you know, an ankle, any type of knee, you see them 3 months later. So, like, let's say, and, like, we have our own lift group. So, like, sometimes you don't even see that guy. Yeah. Sometimes I don't even see guys for, like, 2 months between the natty and spring ball. And let's say they had a knee. Yep. You see them 2 months later at the first spring ball practice. It's like, dude, what are we doing? Like, it's insane. Like, and looking at him on the screen, I was just like, whoa, this dude looks, I mean, he legitimately has the, like, looks like Thor now.
It's unreal. Yeah. How, I mean, I got two texts from two different people watching the game on TV, like, that just said, OMG. And then the other guy said, it looks like Gindorf put on 15 pounds of good weight.
Yeah. And he might have,
but it's also just like, it's because he looks like Gronk. It's because he's yoked, man.
Yeah. And, like, what made it even better is, like, I think the morning of, his mom put on Facebook a post of him at his official visit.
Yeah,
spring of his junior year.
We saw his dad at tailgating and showing us his freshman, like, recruit visit photo where he's just a string bean. Like a buck 90. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, Gindy looks great. Great start to the season for him, and I would expect nothing less going forward.
He's terrifying, man. I mean, he could. I've always said, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to guys like Tucker Kraft or Dallas Goedert, but if he had that type of role, I think he could be that type of player. Now, NDSU will never design their offense that way.
No.
But if you did target Gindy like 9 times a game, he could be an All-American.
Oh, for sure.
For sure he could.
I mean, it's just his number's not called enough, and it doesn't need to be with what we do. But, I mean, and I think everyone knows that.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, that's what makes him even more special is that I don't know how many targets do you think he gets a game?
3.5, 4.
Right. And those are, like, the four most terrifying plays for your D coordinator.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy to say that, like, does an offense, like, we run 65, 70 plays?
Yeah, yep.
When you have a guy that is targeted, like, 5 times out of those.
Yeah.
And, like, usually he puts up, like, an insane stat line on 5 catches.
Right.
Like, that's a guy.
Yeah. Defensively. And this one's tough, okay? I'll admit it, because just so people understand, these grades, A, they're not the gospel, and B, they're based on a per-play basis. So, let's say you're Quinn, and you go in and you play 35 snaps of really good football. And I'm Ross, and I go in, and on my one play, I come from the free safety position, make a perfect read, pick it off, and go to the crib. And I don't play another snap. Well, my grade's going to be way higher than yours because I made a game-changing positive play. So understand that Dawson Weber, who is the guy we're now talking about, his grade is different because in a normal game, he would rotate a little bit with Dom Jones, but he would play more than he played against Drake. Still, though, he was very, very impactful. They liked his work in coverage, and that strip sack was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. A weak side or strong side safety blitz, And it's a design rollout to the weak side, and he still tracked down the quarterback.
He looked like he was running 25 miles per hour.
It was absolutely insane.
Like, even in slow-mo, he looked, like, insanely fast. And Doss has always been fast. But, yeah, I mean, and that's why you see guys, like, talking about, like, you know, high school combine days or whatever, and a guy runs a certain speed. And,
right.
You know, guys look fast when we do, like, summer conditioning and stuff, too. But that's what they say. Like, it doesn't really matter if you get on the field and have that game speed. And Doss definitely has that game speed.
He does. He is, I think, one of the bigger examples that I can remember of this program's ability to develop. Because I remember, I think it was James Hendricks got nicked, and they had to play Doss. And I remember some folks in my circle, Bison fans, people that were legitimately like, when James graduates, I'm a little worried about the free safety spot. I kind of viewing Dawson as a little bit of a liability. Now, a lot of folks that, you know, I don't know how much or how accurate that was, but just viewed him as a question mark. He has become like a legitimate all, I mean, I don't know if he's on Tut's level, but it's close. He has, the second half of last season and this game, he has been unfreaking believable. The complete opposite of a liability. He is a problem for the other team.
Yeah, and like, it's always been like kind of that way with Doss. I mean, his body's perfect for the position. I mean,
yeah,
6'2", 200.
Fast.
Just rangy, athletic. I mean, he really has everything you need to play that position. And like, this isn't even singling out Doss, but like, it's always been, you never know, like, you never know, like, you could have a bias, like, either way. Maybe he's not ready, or maybe you think this backup is ready, or maybe you don't think, like, he could, like you said, like, people were scared if he came for Jimmy.
Right. Yep.
You just don't know until they're out on the field. But then I think as soon as he got on the field and, you know, took snaps while Jimmy was hurt, I think people knew, like, oh, he'll be fine. Sometimes it's just easier for guys to, and like, I don't even think I was on defense anymore when Doss was kind of on the up and coming that year. But sometimes games are just not easier than practice, but sometimes it is.
Oh no, there are practice players and there are game players. Like, yeah. I know of guys, even in the pros, that they consistently play better in games than they do at practice.
I listen to McAfee's show, and AJ Hawk always says, like, hated practice.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like pros are probably similar too, but at NDSU, like, it's like the number one goal to make practice harder than games.
Sure.
Like, they're throwing just stuff at you that you have never seen on film before.
Sure.
Just to, you know, make sure
that alignment, assignment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just to make sure guys are where they're supposed to be. But yeah, Doss has been playing at a high level for a couple of years now, and him being one of the leaders of that defense this year as a 6-year senior. Same as Gindy on the offensive side, 6-year senior, being a leader there. You kind of just expect that he'll make an impact play like that every game, or at least you hope for it.
Kind of a wild one. We talked, or Zach and I talked about the D tackle room just being a little unproven, a little thin, or just a little questionable as far as the guys' names that we don't know. No reason really to be concerned about the Mostart twins or Javi. And then with Dutton Heifer being a guy that they just loved. But after that, it was real questionable. So you saw 61, Cody Heisman, get some work. He's a redshirt freshman. Kind of want to dive in and watch him a little bit more when I get a chance, because he's going to be an important part of what they're doing. How about Logan Larson, the true freshman, I think, and all this stuff is screwed up too, because like, Pro Football Focus did credit Makai Collins for being in that game. They did credit somebody else with there was another number switch too, where an upperclassman took, and there's a true freshman that's credited for playing that didn't play, and that's all fine, and that'll get cleaned up. But ultimately, Logan Larson at 260 pounds plays D-tack in a Division I college football game. A, how insane is that? And B, I guess, what do you think that means for the D-tack room as far as potentially playing a frost. I mean, he has three more games and could preserve his redshirt. But if Javi's out, and it sounds like Javi will play this week, but they're already a little bit thin. They might not have the luxury of redshirting this guy.
Yeah, and I think it's been a long time since the D-tack room has played like younger guys.
Right.
I'm thinking it might have been like 20. Oh, man.
What like year Tangway, is that? Tangway started 15 games as a redshirt freshman.
Yeah. And then like the next year, GM was the backup.
Yep.
And Steitel.
Yeah.
Who were redshirt
younger guys.
Sophomores. Yep. And redshirt freshman Stites.
Yep.
So I think it's probably been since then that we've had, you know, non-juniors and seniors.
I think they would like have loved to have added another Michael Buteau in the offseason. Sure. It just didn't work out that way.
Right. And, but I mean, yeah, I think.
Also, Michael Buteau's don't grow on trees. Shout out Butes.
Absolutely not. Trees cannot hold them.
Absolutely.
One thing I think Gazer's going to love about this, he just loves challenging guys. And I think he loves that he has so many young guys in there right now. But one thing that he's always preached is you have to know how to play both nose and three tech.
Sure.
And I'm looking at the part of the reason I got moved to O-line in 2019 was because we had like a big heart to heart. And he said, I don't think nose guards are going to be 300 pounds anymore in our defense. And I'm looking at, you know,
you're like, what?
And I'm just like, well, You know you have that conversation, and yeah. Like, I'm really thankful he was honest with me. And now I'm looking at the depth chart. You know, Javi, Jackson, Mostart, and I can't remember who the other. They're all 280.
Yes,
I mean they're interchangeable.
Mostart.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think Will is a little bit on the
thinner side. Yeah,
because he was a D end, and
right.
He's playing kind of that. I think they're really going to love him, and you know, the third and longs or
yes.
Whatever. But you know, something I think Gazer's probably loving is like now it's like super true. You are going to play nose, and then you're because now you get into like these teams. Like, I don't know if USD still runs that same offense, but like part of the you know reason I think they did this and they've been recruiting like these, you know, a little bit thinner guys. I think they recruit them now at like 240 or 230 and then sure. Get them up to that 260, 270, yeah. 280, where you know, opposed to bringing guys in at 270 or 280 and then getting them to 300. But
right.
Like you, when we used to play USD, it would just be like, you had to stay on the, like even D tacks and DNs, you had a left and a right that day.
Yeah.
So like, you had to go back and forth, nose three. So I think that's something that's really cool is like, now I think Gazer is going to have a lot of fun.
Can you just explain nose and three? Most people I think get it, but
yeah. So in really simple terms, nose guard lines up between the guard and the center. And a three tech lines up between the guard and the tackle.
And their general responsibilities of the nose guard would be most of the time to try and
you're eating up to
take up two blockers
for the backer to come in.
Exactly. Right. And the three tech is more of a penetrating, more of a pass rush, more of a disruptor position.
Yeah. And you can kind of see it in the body types.
Yes.
Maybe not here anymore, but right. A little bit.
Yep.
Usually the nose is a little bit shorter, you know, 6'2", you know. If you think of a nose guard, just think of Brian Schatz.
Yes. And so two things off that are interesting to me. So we watched, and if you look at the two deep, starting three tech, Eli Mostart, backup three tech, Will Mostart. And all of a sudden, Zach and I are sitting up in the booth, and holy S, both Mostart brothers are coming in at D-tech.
Yeah.
But they're, wait a minute, look at the two deep. That doesn't make sense. And they played probably Eli at nose and Will at three tech, but I mean, that's the versatility that you're finding. And then in like the loss against South Dakota State in Fargo and some other wins where the run defense hasn't quite been up to snuff. Maybe you remember listening to Zach and I like play Buttes. Why aren't they playing Buttes? Why? And it was a lot of like, where is that 300-pound nose guard? Where is Brian Schatz? Where is Ryan Drevlo? Where is that guy? And it's, so that's interesting that you're saying like, hey, we might be wanting more versatile guys when we're watching the run defense. It's not bad, you know, but we're watching the run defense falter in spots, begging for the Michael Buteau or begging for the bigger nose guard.
Yeah. And I think it's really,
but you can't have it all.
Right. And then like, that's interesting too, because like you'll see, and everyone knows this, no one runs an offense like NDSU.
Right.
So when you're in fall camp, you would love a 300-pound nose guard.
Hell yeah.
To eat up those blocks. But like SDSU, they run so much slant and so much outside stuff that I think it's fine that they don't have a guy that's, you know, stuck in the middle. It's probably easier. I mean, we'll see, I guess. But they probably like it more to have both Mostarts in there chasing from the backside on a slant rather than me.
So, and you don't think that, like, so you're saying that might not have been a big piece of the problem why they were so successful running the football?
SDSU.
In that specific instance.
Probably not, honestly. Because, and like, we, there's so much movement that happens on the D-line, too, that, you know, maybe it's just, and like, bad reads happen, too, or in, you know, bad gap fills, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, getting back to the freshman, that's, it's going to be interesting. I mean, and one thing I can say right now, he is still going to be in Devo lift this year because he's a freshman. He will not be 260 pounds come November.
Sure, that's fair. Cole Payton, you know, folks, us, me constantly getting into internet arguments. Look, I love Cole Payton. I think he has an extremely bright future. You know, the deal he did on Bison Report TV where he let it out that he said no thank you to Iowa State and Nebraska is some of the, like, highest numbers we've ever done on a post. I mean,
thank you, Cole.
Right, like, Cole is our guy. That said, I will fight people online about Cam Miller. I think Mike McFeely from the Forum asked about Cole Payton's performance and if it was a little bit disappointing. And I get, like, you swap those guys. Like, if Cam Miller comes in with the twos and they're not running routes to the exact correct depth or they're not doing exactly what they're supposed to, maybe that looks different. And if Cole Payton runs with the ones and, you know, Phoenix is doing what is supposed to happen and all of that, you know what I mean? Like, yes, Cole Payton was in with the twos and maybe it wasn't as clean as it needed to be, but did you... What did you think of that performance? What I mean, I'm sure he wanted it to be better in that kind of extended run against a team that everybody thinks isn't all that good, but what did you think?
Yeah, and like I mean, I can't really remember specific plays, but like one thing that does come to mind is like a couple things. Is this his second true, like this is his second year?
Or
is
it his
Yeah. So I mean, if everyone wants to look at it this way, Easton, his second year, he played great in the 8 games he started, but he was also on a team that was, like, fighting for their
lives.
And
they barely let him throw.
Yeah, I mean, they were fighting for their lives after a 4-2 start.
Yeah.
You know, 4-time defending.
Yeah.
I mean, huge senior-led class. So, like, I mean...
Number 2 overall pick at quarterback.
Yeah, so, like, Easton did really well, but he also had a lot of things going for him.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran the crap out of the ball that whole year. Their defense was, like, unreal for a while. I mean... the whole year, but like that stretch of 8 games where he started after Wentz got hurt. You know, Wentz didn't play till his 4th year in the program. Trey, obviously, I mean,
Trey's an alien.
Trey's a little different. I mean, I don't know how to put it.
He was built different.
And that was also an incredible team.
Yeah.
I mean, 16-0.
Yeah.
A big part because of Trey, but like that team also had a lot going for them. And like, not that this team doesn't, but like, even if he was in with the twos, I can't remember specific. You know, the specific goal line, but like,
yeah,
during the practice, I'd assume that he takes snaps obviously with like the first team a lot too, but like, I don't exactly know if he was taking snaps from the center. He always takes snaps from in practice.
Right.
Yeah. If, you know, maybe it wasn't handing the ball off to the same guy that he doesn't practice, throwing to the same guys that he doesn't practice. So I think that could probably play a pretty big part in it too. And then the last thing for me, I guess, is like, I mean, when you're up, what was the score when he went in, do you know?
I mean, I think it was 49. How many points did they score in the second half? 7?
7.
Yeah, 49 then.
Yeah. So, I mean.
It's a lot.
when you put a guy in and they're up 49-7, it's not like T-Roll is going to call a play-action double move.
You're right. His downfield passing attempts were to Logan Hofstadt and Luke Waters.
Yeah.
And shout out Logan Hofstadt and Luke Waters. But Christian Watson, they are not.
Right, and like they're not even calling like drop back passes for him,
because
like it's just it's a sportsmanship thing too.
Yes, absolutely.
As much as like the coaches, fans, and even players and Cole want to just sling that thing around, you're just not going to do it.
Right.
So like I personally don't take anything away from if you want to call it like just maybe an underwhelming performance by Cole, just because. There are so many things working against him to just have like such a standout game that I think he'll be fine.
Absolutely.
I mean, if his number gets called, if Cam ever gets hurt, you know, fingers crossed that never happens, but he'll be fine.
Can we get JP on offense?
I've thought about that. I mean, can he just, you know, he can run a 9.
Oh, man.
Jet sweeps.
Man. Anyway, what do you think they're working on in practice? I mean, obviously preparing for NCAA&T, but a lot of the verbiage after game one is cleanup. What's getting cleaned up?
I mean, I guarantee you there won't be a 10-play touchdown scoring drive on defense.
Fair enough.
As much as like we say it's overplayed, you know, in the media, I mean, I definitely know Coach Entz was like,
yeah, not thrilled.
Like, yeah. Yep. No matter what. I mean, it can be like, you know, lack of communication. Even if they bust one wide open, you never want a team, you never want to give them that hope on the first drive of the game.
Sure.
So defensively, for sure. I mean, I imagine they're going to, you know, test out their communication a lot this week, probably play noise, you know, not only during the team sessions, but probably during drills even. But yeah, I think defensively that, I'm sure the defense was a little tired there during that stretch of,
yes.
We have like a former players like group chat, and we were just going in there and like, one, the offense, like,
so it was stop, punt return touchdown, stop, field goal block touchdown, stop.
Right. So, like, that's the funny thing, too, is, like, the offense was the starting O was just barely out there.
Right.
I mean, considering, like, what, like, a normal game is like. So,
Did you see the bear spinning around in his desk chair gif from Bison Report?
No.
It was very good. I'll show it to you.
But, yeah, I think just, I mean, cleanup for the defense is probably just communication. I mean, I'm sure that's. Haven't gone back and watched the game at all, but I'm sure that's all it was on the first drive.
Sure.
You know, gaps missed. Maybe a guy hasn't, you know, seen that gap in practice before or didn't know what that fit was, but that'll get cleaned up. And, I mean, I imagine just a more talented team coming in here too.
Sure. But
you'll get to that later.
Absolutely, we will in the preview edition. Want to thank Quinn for pinch hitting here. Want to thank our good friends at Big Deck Barbecue. They supplied a lot of the flavor during the Bison Report Fantasy Football Draft. Want to thank the wonderful people at Gateway Chevrolet. We want to thank all of you for listening. Have a phenomenal week, everybody, and go Bison.